You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Yo, listen up, here's a story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue, like the Ozarks that he launders money into. I don't know. Did that work, guys?
That works.
Beautiful.
So everybody, we are reviewing Ozark today. I'm Nathan, and to the right of me is...
I'm Paloma Bennett.
And I'm Wright Sulek.
And I'm Alex.
All right, guys. So, Ozark. Who wants to just do a sort of rough outline of what Ozark is about? I'm going to call on Wright.
Ooh, it is Breaking Bad if they thought of kind of a lamer-ish idea with money laundering, but way more violent and way more intense.
I'll argue you on way more intense, but that's okay.
I mean, with some of the violence that goes on, I was watching season three just recently, and some of the scenes are incredibly graphic, and I'm no stranger to horror or violence or gore or anything like that. That's okay, but when it happens in like a realistic situation, and I don't know about you guys, but when I see actors that I really do love and they're in peril, like Laura Linney or Jason Bateman, I'm like, oh no, don't go in there, and something terrible happens to them. It always puts me way more on edge when it's just someone like, oh yeah, Sean Bean, he's gonna die again, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I going into the show, I really liked the second season, and to review this with you guys, I decided to just power catch up through the second season and the third season. Yeah, I started on Friday, maybe Thursday.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of Ozark.
Yeah, it's a lot of blue to take in all at once. But
now when you're saying blue, are you're talking about like the tint?
I'm talking about the tint,
is a little bit blue.
I will say, as a big strength to this season, which there are a lot of strengths to this season, they have sort of subtly dropped that whole everything is dusk sort of look that Ozark has had.
That pseudo Fincher blue light.
Yeah.
Right. Or I always describe it as like, it's not as extreme of like Soderbergh, where he has like just different color tints and different scenes.
Oh,
like
totally.
Yeah, right.
I was about to say, it's just like Traffic, all the scenes with Michael Douglas.
Right. Exactly. So with this, they definitely tone it down, but like still visually, like the cinematography in this show is great.
Oh, it's very crisp.
I think that for me, it really, I love the cinematography. I feel like there's always the sense of openness, and there's also a sense of the kind of loneliness and I mean, at least melancholia. I feel like, for the whole thing, they've kind of been able to keep up this kind of, the sadness is kind of like trying to keep up, even though you're in this very kind of slow, even though this very slow environment, they're still always trying to keep up and catch up. And I feel like the way that they shoot it is just like, kind of brings all that all together, especially the tint, I think, was really helpful with
that. Well, it's shot so cinematically with like
that
full sort of widescreen 1.85:1 aspect ratio that, if I'm getting that correctly, I think I am.
To the point, yes.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, no, I thought that it was just a really well-made first season when I first started, and I liked it a lot. I mean, if I have any issues with the show besides the color palette, is I find a lot of the characters, especially in season two more so, act in ways that service the plot instead of developing their characters.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that the second season sort of slows everything down and kind of, and I agree with that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of my biggest issues with the second season was that Marty Bird himself really didn't develop as a character. But this season.
Yeah. He's basically the same idea, like, we got to get out. Like, it's the same idea in the second season as in the first season. That's why it was so compelling in trying to figure out the perfect way to get out of this awful nightmare of a situation. And then the second season is just continuing that. But what I think that the later half of the second season and this season really pushed forward was Laura Linney.
Oh, I agree. She's amazing.
She was incredible. The MVP of the first season of the second season and is the MVP of the show pretty much.
It felt like they were really noticing that her character was way more fascinating and fun to play with as like a writer in like halfway through the second season. They're like, oh, wait a minute, maybe she can be like power hungry and wanting to prove something, and that she's just not some, you know, stay at home wife or whatever. Like, she can do this as much as Marty can. And in this season, it goes so overboard, obviously, with a lot of things. Are we going to talk about spoilers too? I'm assuming
you are. We'll get deep into spoilers later on. But if you guys just want to bring up some things that that really stuck out to you as great this season, I mean, I guess we could. Do we want to sort of go into what the overarching plot of this season is, or do you guys really feel like it's necessary?
I feel like it kind of is necessary to kind of go into some detail, because I think stuff. I mean, I'll try to be careful not to be too spoilery, but I think a lot of the stuff that is important, that's so amazing, is stuff that is plot points. At least involve plot points, but I don't know. I'm open.
I think the introduction, almost right off the bat, of the brother. I think that's obviously like the biggest thing that's very different about this season.
Ben Davis,
is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic character. The actor is Tom Pelfrey, who I know from Iron Fist, because I'm one of like the 50 people who suffered through that show, and he was fantastic.
Oh, you were the one.
Yeah, I was the one.
One of the rare ones.
You know, if you guys have ever seen In the Mouth of Madness, I was the one guy in the theater just having Netflix play through season 2 while my brother just nagged at me and said, wasn't it great? That ending, man. Season 2 got so much better.
Really?
Wow. They did a season 2?
Yeah, they did a season 2.
God, I thought he was the best part of it.
Actually, I will say, I guess more to the point of the show, he plays an alcoholic really well in Iron Fist. And in this, he plays bipolar fantastic in this show.
Oh, yeah.
It was like some of the best portrayal of bipolar disorder that I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
There is a scene, and it's not, we're not going to spoilers just yet, but the taxi scene of him by himself talking to the driver, that whole opening, that was a cold open. And after a very tense last couple of minutes of the previous episode, and that opening of him just like a roller coaster of a monologue, of him going extreme manic, extreme depression, extreme happiness, like extreme anger, it was enthralling. I could have watched an entire episode of just that.
No, I agree. One of my favorite parts of the season was the relationship between Marty and Wendy, or at least the unraveling, and then, you know, then re-raveling of the relationship between them. And that them going kind of back and forth and having a cat and mouse game
with
each other. They're both playing each other. I don't want to go too much detail, but they both kind of use, they both bring back cat in the way that they try to manipulate the other. And I kind of thought that was really brilliant.
In season 2, it was very much like Marty and Wendy are attempting something, and then it could have been any number of people who, like, stop them by the end of the episode. And it felt repetitive to me. I'm not sure about you guys, but it was always like...
I agree, yeah.
It was Marty and Wendy versus Charlotte. It was Marty and Wendy versus Ruth in some cases. It was Marty and... It was constantly them getting just completely... kneecapped by whoever was the antagonist for the episode. But in this season, what is so interesting is that they pit the two of them against each other.
Yeah, to me that was way better. That's what I like about the first and third season, is that I think the show deals works way better when they're like at war with one another. When they're getting to along, it kind of becomes more boring. It was hard for me to get through the second season and the third and first, because I think when they're at war with each other, when they're really battling, that's when their acting chops kind of come out, and you kind of can see them.
Oh yeah, even what in the first episode where Jason Bateman says the satisfying sound of your lover's head hitting the pavement, it has granted me the best sleep I've had in weeks.
That was amazing. That was top notch.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's
oh
great.
Yeah, that's the line that always stuck with me where I'm like, you know what, maybe I should watch more Ozark.
There was one cut down I heard this season when Ruth calls Wendy a wolf bitch. And I was like, I'm going to use that sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
Ruth is always fantastic. I don't know if you guys had the same issue as I did. I felt like, I mean, if she had a role in this season, it was at first I was excited for her to have a bigger role in the construction of the casino, mm-hmm. but as she went on, it was just mainly she was just a love interest to Ben.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy their chemistry that much. I don't know about you guys.
Why? Because it felt a little bit forced in like how soon everything was happening.
Yeah.
I think that was the pacing issue with that story. I think that's like the main issue. I definitely buy them as a couple, like that, it makes sense, but to give a little bit more time, which, you know, I think this season takes place in like a 2 month time frame. I think that's, they said that towards the end of the season, and it does feel a little fast to where she just all of a sudden lets her guard down and then they, you know, start fooling around.
Yeah, I do have a big issue with the way they explain how much time has passed, because at one point someone says something about how it's going to take 4 months for a certain thing to occur, and it occurs. And another person says it's going to be 6 weeks before something happens, and that doesn't happen.
That's true. Yeah, I think time is they didn't. I think that was one of the problems. They didn't totally conquer the time frame of everything. You couldn't really tell exactly how long things happened. When they did happen, you're like, oh, okay. So yeah, I agree with you there.
It's a really like competently and beautifully done in some regards show that has just cracks here and there. Like it's just a little messy every now and then, whereas you, and it's very difficult not to compare it to like Breaking Bad, because it feels very similar.
Well,
just like
it isn't even that it feels very similar. It's definitely like, I know there were interviews saying, hey, we're not trying to invite the comparisons, but we like them. It's like, no, you guys are inviting the comparisons.
Well, it's a similar story. It's like an everyday man becoming involved in the drug scene, in the Mexican kind of drug cartels. I mean, it's a very similar concept.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost the same concept, really.
I think the one thing that kept me...
Money launderer, whatever,
yeah.
Accountant. It's a real difference.
I'm a diehard Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul fan, and I think the one thing that's always kept me from really loving Ozark is how conventional everything feels.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree with me. Like, I feel like every time there's a lack of really great villains from what I've seen. Like, they will get one for a moment. Like, I thought Dell was very interesting in season one. Until he gets killed off by the by the Snells, who I found just as soon as Jacob Snell got interesting, Darlene killed him off.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah, sorry, the Snells.
I will say Darlene this season, she is the MVP. I started to fall in love with that character all of a sudden, just how gross and just crazy she is, and then what she ends up doing for a few characters. It was like, okay, I'm kind of on team.
Darlene a lot more this season.
Oh yeah, she definitely got to go around and recruit a new team.
I think you got to see that Darlene has her like before. Darlene kind of seems almost like a crazy person or like a villain, but this time you can kind of see she has her own kind of moral code and her own kind of perverse logic to what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I like the character development that they did with Helen this season, played by Janet McTeer.
Helen's one of my favorites.
Yeah, she started off to me as being very flat, you know, the mm-hmm. sort of the business lady who works for the cartel. It's something that we see in, like, God knows how many shows. We kind of even see it in Breaking Bad with Lydia.
Yeah, she was, right. That was a very interesting character.
Yeah.
Just same kind of thing. Like all these little comparisons, is like you see these archetypes in these two shows, and what's it's so much different than between these two shows is that that Walter White is just so much more of a compelling character.
Yeah.
Like from the get go.
Marty Bird hardly transforms per season.
It's only when he has that one episode where he is taken to, you know, a place.
Oh, taken to wasn't it Kansas City?
It was Kansas City.
It's only for a couple of episodes that he's kind of in that heightened state. After that, he's kind of goes back to normal once that thing happens to, you know, that one character's brother. But before then, he kind of goes back to normal though. So it only is like a couple of seasons where you kind of see his backstory a little bit more.
I felt like Marty was as good as he's been in this show, but he, in comparison to Wendy, he's sorely lacking as a character.
Yeah,
I think he's too much of like the everyday man, and well, with Walter, you know, right? There's a more of a he transforms. Walter White transforms and he becomes kind of this kind of gangster. Well, I think Marty never does.
Even with Saul Goodman and Jimmy McGill in Better Call Saul, there's a humanity in it. Like sometimes both of those characters act out of sheer selfishness and impulse, and they probably can't even explain what they did. With Marty, everything is so calculated to the level where it almost feels robotic.
I think they kind of do. They do talk about it, right? I think there's something that's quite, like, kind of too shiny about him.
He's a sociopath, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Some of the things that he'll say are crazy, but they almost don't feel like they're coming from the same guy.
But I also don't think the show sells it that well, sells his psychopathy that well. Or that he's a bad guy.
He's just, it's coming off cross as like, well, I guess this is his character from Arrested Development, but now he's terrible. he's still being so.
So is money in the banana stand.
That's what they need to do, an Easter egg and put the banana stand in the show. And like, that's what the son, Jonah, starts setting up as a banana stand.
Yeah, he could be Mr. Manager.
Just a good little Easter egg. And they just launder money through that.
Didn't you do the whole, put money through the, electronic money, through, what do they call it,
The cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, this was last season, but the way how he described it just felt like, wow, you are a 40-year-old man writing for a teenage son.
He really grew up this season, though. Didn't the actor look so much older this season than last season?
Oh, yeah. No,
so did Wyatt.
I'm talking about the way how he was written in the scene where he's describing it. He's like, it's like gamer currency. You know, like online? You're just like, oh, stop.
Oh, that's right.
It was written by older, probably middle-aged men, so.
I think... Are you guys ready to go into final thoughts for the season before we go dive into spoilers?
For sure.
Sure.
Okay. Let's start with you, Paloma.
Okay, well, I just say that last season I was almost ready to give up after the second season because I felt like, I felt even slower than the first season, and I didn't find them because it's so engaging when they're like working together. But this season, I think this was like the top-notch Wendy and Marty. I love them at war, and I love their kind of, you know, the mouse and cat kind of games to do with one another. I think that the brother, Dave, was a really kind of really great ad, and I think that his drama, for lack of a better word, really helped sell and engage the season. I don't think that Charlotte was as interesting as she was in the last two seasons, but I think that there's still a lot of character development, and I think the kids have kind of, their growing process within the organization has kind of grown, and I think that kind of shows really interesting, shows them kind of growing up and maturing in an interesting way, and where they're all kind of all marred by drug, you know, drug money and by drug connections. They're no longer normal children or teenagers. This season, I would probably give this season eight out of ten, abandoned cars.
All right.
So, I would pretty much agree, because the second season, how it ended, and I was almost like okay in a way, just like, all right, so this is a 2-season show, I'm cool with it. Like it's over. I don't see what else is really that interesting to continue on forward with. Is that it just felt like I was okay to be done with it, to your point, Paloma. And so but then this season really got me interested again, and the way that it ends, I was like, okay, I'm kind of back in this whole show. I want to see what happens to these characters. They really set up some really interesting dynamics. And the fact that they found their protagonist and antagonist, finally. Because to everyone's point, like, or to your point, Nathan, is that their villain was almost like the Marvel, you know, problem, is that they don't really have the greatest villains in the world. But with this, the first like couple of seasons, kind of like middling villains, like just kind of here and there, and it wasn't that compelling. And then finally, like, oh wait, let's make, you know, Marty and Wendy the protagonist and antagonist, and like she's a villain or anything, but this in a writer's sense, the true protagonist and antagonist of the show. And it got so much more compelling to see them, to your point earlier, this kind of cat and mouse game going back and forth. And then it really got me interested to see what was going to happen next. I'm like, oh my God, is Wendy going to kill Marty? Like, that was always in the back of my head, is that anyone can die at this point. I mean, why the hell not? Let's just make this show even more interesting. Let's see season 4, just a show about Wendy Bird. But so I think that it got me going to where I really wanted to see more of it moving forward. So that's what I'd say, like, my review is that it finally, like, brought me back in.
Yeah. Alex?
I feel like with the first 2 seasons, it wasn't fairly consistent. But I think in this season, they've really found sort of their rhythm or their groove with it. And it seems like they took into account everything that everyone was a little disappointed with in the other seasons, like the tint that they sort of removed. They've started to really, you know, bring their cinematography to a level where it's very concise and they know what they're doing. And all of the characters have become more developed in a way that they really weren't before. And like, certain characters get their moments, like Helen, and especially with Ben coming in and just chewing scenery. It was fantastic. But yeah, they've stepped it up a large margin this season. I would give it 40 out of 50 pounds of birdseed.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
All right. Yeah, no, I pretty much am in agreement with all of you guys. I mean, I've always liked the show. I still think it is to where it's not quite approaching that, like, A-level television that I hold for, like, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Mad Men, The Americans, Justified even, The Wire. But it's still at a solid B, and it's getting better as it goes through. I think this season has been the best pace they've been.
I agree.
I think... Laura Linney and Jason Bateman are still at the top of their game in this show. I thought Tom Pelthrey, talk about just being what could have been a forgotten side character that could have annoyed a shit ton of people, turning into like such a great nuanced performance of being bipolar. And then you add that on to a lot of their other regulars like Ruth or Wyatt or Darlene, or just so many other characters that just get more of a chance to shine than they did, especially in the last season, but since they did before. I as a whole, I really liked this season. I thought it was excellent, or I thought it was a really solid season of TV that I have only small quibbles with. It's not to the level where I'd be like, hey, I can't wait to rewatch Ozark season 3 for these certain moments like I do with other shows. But I on the whole, enjoyed it, and I cannot wait for what's going to come next. I'll give it 8 out of 10 vodkas in my front seat of my car.
Oh, that's a really good one, yeah. That was a good scene, actually. That was a really good scene.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
Oh yeah, that's good.
We're gonna get into spoilers. I'm going to start the spoiler talk with what the fuck, Darlene and Wyatt.
Oh yeah.
Guys, I don't know about you guys. That was sexy.
I don't even know how I feel about that. But at first, I was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Thinking, oh God, I don't. It just looks wrong each time I see it in the screen. Like them together doesn't make any sense to me logically."
From what it sounds like, on Wright's side is wrong, but it felt so right.
Yeah. Wright's kind of a very mature character. He's always been very mature, so. But I don't know. And then Darlene's kind of like, this is oddball. So I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. What I loved is that. So I was watching this season with my girlfriend, and we've watched the two previous seasons, and she's really more into romantic comedy and not, you know, people's heads getting blown off or whatever. So she was really trying to watch this, and what I love doing, why I love watching things with her is that she just thinks that everyone's gonna start banging each other, and she was just calling it, and she was like, oh, they're gonna bang.
Has she seen Cats?
No, she. She's more of a "P.S. I love you" kind of gal. So, but I love that she's like, "Oh yeah, Darlene and Wyatt are gonna bang." It's like, no, they are. Oh, good lord. A little uncomfortable, and then you just kind of get used to it pretty quickly. I'm just like, all right, sure, I guess this makes sense.
I kind of like when they're in bed together reading books and that kind of. It's kind of sweet.
Oh, yeah. When she's doing the crossword puzzle in the chair, and they're sitting next to each other, and he's like, what's a four-letter word for a Mongolian...
tent.
Yurt.
It was beyond weird, but I'm not even so sure it made sense, but it was a solid dynamic. I'll give it that.
I loved it.
I will say that... There was a moment this season, just kind of getting back to what we talked about earlier with Jason Bateman and Laura Linney getting at each other, where Marty calls out Wendy for not really considering the family and then constantly talking about how the casino was a selfish idea and all this. And like, as much as I love Laura Linney throughout the show, it's just like, you know, Marty's kind of on point with all of the things that he's bringing up right now.
True, but he's also selfish, though. It's not like he's doing it for the family, either.
Oh, yeah. No, two wrongs don't make a right, but he was definitely calling out on the right things.
Yeah. My favorite part is... my favorite part is when we see that... When they had their first therapy session, and Marty go in the car, then Marty come out, she leaves, and then Marty comes out the car, and you find out he's been paying the therapist, and like, oh my god, this is, like, brilliantly so... It's so wrong, but it's so brilliant of an idea.
Classic Don Draper move.
Exactly. That was my favorite scene. I think like I'm like, this is amazing.
What's difficult about the show is that the whole trope of like, I'm doing it for my family, and we've all seen Breaking Bad. We've all seen the end of that show, so we've already kind of like, we've already gotten over that trope. We're like, no, we already know. Like, when you guys gonna wake up? Or it's almost like you want to yell at the screen. It's like, just watch Breaking Bad. You'll get it. You'll get it. And it's just, it's kind of difficult at this point. You're like, oh, we just want to get to the point where they're either fine with being awful or they actually do something about this.
I mean, my theories are all going to kill each other eventually. I mean, I don't know. Or something.
They're just going to get killed.
Yeah.
Or they're going to get away with it. True. That's the other thing, too, I could totally see happening. Is that, like, he's smart enough, he's good looking enough, and gosh darn it, people like him. And he's going to just, you know, win the day. It's, you know, down the line.
Yeah. They say that they're doing this all for their family, but they never spend any time together as a family, except for that one night where they're all trapped together and they play Parcheesi and no one is enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was more realistic during the run of Breaking Bad for Walter to say that he was doing it all for the family, because at least he, like, even at moments where he was at his most distant, he'd still be like, I brought pizza over here, Skyler.
Exactly. And also, like, he was recovering from cancer, his wife was pregnant, his son had, like, cerebral palsy, so he had a lot of different, there's a lot of reasons why he'd be doing it for his family.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard with a more upper-class family that is already very distant in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, they don't seem to get further apart. They just seem to be as they're always far apart. Because the kids before were just spending a lot of time outside the house doing their own thing.
Yeah, and I know I praised the show when it first came to its first season, where it's like, wow, all these characters, they're getting all of their secrets out of the way. But this season, I think more than the other two seasons, they really don't do much with it, as far as like Charlotte and Jonah knowing.
Right.
That's a good point. I mean, the only thing that they really add to it is the relationship with Helen's daughter.
Yeah, and Aaron. I'd rather they tiptoe around what they're doing than just straight up, hey, we now know this, and now we're dealing with the new normal, but we're not doing anything interesting for the plot.
No, I mean, all Charlotte really does is work for her mother, and then try to stop the other daughter from doing anything too risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Wendy's failed attempt to rebuy their old house, where she goes in and she just rearranges a few things, drinks a beer.
Oh, yeah.
And leaves the door open.
That was a great scene. See, that's the type of impulsive stuff I'd like to see out of Marty, besides just getting a video game.
The pinball
game,
whatever it was.
Like,
that was not a vintage game. That was totally made up for the show.
I like Marty as a character, and I thought that episode where he was stuck in Kansas City, being tortured.
I thought we're spoilers now. It's okay.
Yeah, no, in Mexico, it was great for his character. But by the end of it, it really didn't do much for him. Towards the end of the show,
no,
or the end of the season.
They erase everything. In my opinion, when you know when Dave is killed, it raises all of his quote unquote progress, all his changed personality.
Yeah,
he goes back to being normal Marty, who's consoling his wife and being very normal.
Right, that felt a little weird. Again, like a little rushed, and it was like, wait, you're consoling her, and you almost like were scared that she was going to kill you, like. Seriously, like two episodes ago.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I think that there was I think Marty's character is kind of this season was a little bit. I mean, I hate to use the word, but like kind of a little bit all over the place, and kind of like the changes were so quick that they didn't really feel like real or authentic.
Yeah, I mean, it all throughout Breaking Bad, you constantly have like Walter White going like two steps forward, one step back.
But I feel like it makes more sense though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It
I
makes sense
it.
Because it's never you never go through a full you know, he doesn't just change overnight, and this show really isn't about Marty changing into an even worse person, but he still has to develop as a character.
Yes, and I also I also think with I mean, I don't want to go too much with Walter White, but I think Walter White, you kind of see that this was within him the whole time, and this is being revealed.
Oh, totally.
Well, I don't think they set it up in that way with Marty.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, or they're doing the most subtle way possible, and it's just like, are we going to take like four seasons to see him like break bad all of a sudden? Well, this is taking its time.
I hear it's a 5-season planned out show, so we are now approaching
more than halfway through
then. Season. What?
We're more than halfway through.
Yeah.
We're at about 60%. I like that Marty got to spend a lot of time with an actual warm-blooded federal officer instead of that cold-blooded prick that they had for the last two seasons.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. When, Petty, what was that his name?
Petty? Yeah, it's a good name for
Petty?
Him.
Petty? I think it was Petty,
stuff.
Yeah.
See, that's who I was talking about in the chat, Paloma, because I was
in
the middle
right.
of season two. I was like, am I ever going to like this FBI guy? And sure enough, he gets drowned in a pond, and I'm like, oh, I still didn't like him towards the end, and a character I also don't like drowned in him.
Right, it's like, I wouldn't worry about it.
you don't miss him when he leaves. Like, I didn't even think of him in third season. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
But that's the thing, too,
and
like,
he was built
he's a federal
up
agent
be...
that died.
Sorry?
No, he's like a federal agent that died and was seemingly murdered. I mean, I don't know how that the redneck father of Ruth just like kind of got away. Obviously, he was killed, but how it was just kind of like water under the bridge. Like it just kind of nothing sort of happened.
Yeah, and the FBI like, just
what?
Sort of like he was corrupt. And it's like, okay, so it's still one of your agents who died out there.
Yeah, I don't think
exactly.
That, yeah, and it was. I was like, at first, I thought maybe still be trying to rescue that the woman agent, I'm thinking her name right now.
Yeah,
but
Maya.
But then Maya was. But I thought what they did with Maya was kind of fascinating. Like, I kind of liked that whole flirty thing that he did, that Maya and Marty did, where Marty's trying to change, trying to shift Maya into a mole, but then Maya's like, yeah, no, not gonna happen.
Yeah. Oh, she was a fantastic character.
It creates a great dynamic when each of them is trying to recruit the other, and they have a lot of great conversations about what is a good person and ethics and all of that.
Yeah, I just say though, that I never thought that Maya would ever change. Like, I think Maya was a character that was written very clearly, won't shift. So, like, I thought it was interesting because Marty, like, is like, he, like, everybody else knows it, but Marty's like, no, I can change her. So I kind of like that. It was, he was like going against a wall, like hitting a wall. Like, he could never do anything about it. He could never really actually turn her, but his attempts were kind of fascinating. I thought an interesting dynamic.
Can that. I just say, Michael Bluth in Arrested Development actually has a lot of character development as he goes through, and I find it strange that in a sitcom he changes more into a piece of shit than when he's laundering money for a drug cartel.
Wow. Well,
and getting deeper and deeper.
At the writing, maybe.
Yeah, it's strange to me the way how this show is made. And don't get me wrong, I still think it's a really good show.
Me too.
I think they just don't know how to do time very well.
Yeah.
Like, because consider this, and this has always been one of the things that I found so fascinating. And again, we're comparing it to Breaking Bad, but you know, who cares?
It draws the comparisons. Always... You can't talk about the two in conversation without.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But the one thing I always found so fascinating and revealing in the fifth season was that the whole series was a year long.
Two years long.
He has his birthday at the very beginning, and then he has his the next birthday in, like, you know, the beginning of season five or whatever, and then there's like another year when he's in hiding out.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that the four seasons, four and a half or so, took a year long, I was like, oh my God, because I felt like that was like 5 years long.
Well, yeah,
but of course it wasn't.
I mean, it's because the way how each moment has consequences that follow on to the next episode. With Ozark, it feels more more prone to, hey, let's restart this, or let's soft reboot what we think the show should be.
Right.
And I know they're saying that they have a solid plan going into this and they know how the ending is, and that actually terrifies me.
Me too. Yeah.
Because it leaves no room for creativity.
I also think that if this is how they're writing it so far, I can't imagine them playing this whole out means the time will get any better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either. That's a pretty fair observation.
I think they really didn't get into... This is the first season where I felt like the plot was driven by the characters and not the other way around.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
Which is the biggest compliment I can give to this season.
It's like the first season, like half of it was driven by the characters, and then the other half was just like, we just got to get there.
Yeah.
And then the second season was basically all just the plot driving everything. And then this final, again, that's why it was so much fun to kind of see these characters breathe a little bit. Even like in, you know, the smaller characters and how give them like life again. And that's why I think that we can all agree is like, I'm really interested to see what actually happens now in a fourth season.
Yeah. I just say that I really love the ending scene, last scene of the season.
Oof.
Yeah.
Where Marty, you know, when you realize that maybe they are, you know, maybe they're done to the wrong devil. Whatever the phrase, you know what I'm trying to say.
Maybe there was a mistake there. Yeah, the way how they dispatch Helen is just so cold.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's about as cold as her character.
What we should talk about as far as how somebody being cold, how about Wendy leaving Ben at the restaurant?
Yeah, that was pretty. I'm like, I didn't know. If so, I mean, I could see that she was a pretty cold character and pretty like brutal, but like I didn't think she could do that for her brother because she seemed so attached to him and so much like she like almost raised him in a way or did a lot of caring for him.
Yeah, I will say, and I feel like this is we really can't end this review without just truly talking about how great Tom Pelphrey was because he was just fantastic.
That scene with him in the jail cell and Helen's talking to him, telling him that he's going to a state mental hospital, and then Wendy and Marty are in the sheriff's office watching it in the cameras. That scene right there. It's one of the best scenes, and it's definitely the best scene of television I've seen so far this year, but that made me cry.
Yeah.
Of how powerful that was, and him screaming her name, that right there, both of them should be nominated for like an Emmy or a Golden Globe just for that
one scene. I just can't believe it. I honestly, like, I like the writing was good, but his acting elevated every bit of it.
God.
It almost felt like a performance out of a different show, and I don't mean that as a negative to this show. I mean it more as a positive.
Yeah. I love how he has such a strong moral compass, and they show you that with the first scene that they show him.
Yeah.
He's that substitute teacher, and he just goes off on those kids.
But yeah, and he's telling everyone and yelling, because you think it's as a viewer, you're seeing it just like him going through an episode. He's going, you know, hot and cold so quickly, but he's really voicing what we all think, is that like, this isn't normal. You guys are you're the crazy ones.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it, was that even though he was bipolar, you saw that everything that he was saying was right, and that he was the only one that's really has any kind of real moral code. And even though he's the one who's quote unquote crazy, he's the one who's really doing all the right things, and everything he's trying to do is there's nothing wrong with what he's doing.
And
because it's this weird world, like, he's getting punished for it, but really he's the one who's owns the hero of the story.
Yeah, I feel like a performance by a lesser actor could have made this character extremely annoying. But I know you were saying that Darlene was your MVP. I think by far.
That's more of a joke, because she was just so much fun to watch this season.
Oh, yeah.
With her, like, blowing the balls off of Frank Cosgrove Jr. and, you know, just a couple of things she was doing. But he is by far the MVP. Like, he almost carried the show anytime he was on camera.
Yeah, I still love listening to Wendy and Ben.
Even though
it ends with, you know, her kind of leading to his death, it's still, you can kind of see this closeness to them and their brother's relationship and their kind of love for one another. And I think it's very, very fascinating.
Yeah.
It's super humanizing.
Mm-hmm. I felt like this season was definitely a step up in a lot of different ways. I was really bummed to see Ben go, even though there was no way he was going to make it out of this season alive.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He's too much of a white knight to survive in that world.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Perfectly well spoken.
He's too much of a Hank. Or, yeah.
God, I don't know. I liked him better than I liked Hank, though, I have to say.
I still love Hank, but they're great in different ways.
You're right.
Yeah. So, anybody want to go launder some money or start a casino?
I don't know.
He makes it look easy, also extremely hard at the same time.
He does, yeah.
Did it bother anyone else that Agent Maya was 7 months pregnant the entire time? Because that was the thing where she's like, I'm going to give birth in 6 weeks. Meanwhile, Darlene's like, my poppies are going to grow in 4 months.
I think that definitely, that was one of the things, like, yeah, I think that was like, I'm like, well, I guess it's sort of like, you know, nobody, but when you're like a sitcom where nobody grows up, really.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, the baby doesn't get born.
That was like the only thing that happened not on screen.
Yeah. Does he get birth, though, does he, in this season?
Yeah. Like, everything happens on screen. No, there's no background going on that you have to worry about, because you're going to see all of it.
Yeah. Do we know if she's married or if she's, you know, having a baby by herself or what's going on with the baby, even.
She doesn't mention it, no.
Does she mention it?
No, she doesn't mention it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, do you guys have any ideas on how to take us out? I was trying something earlier, but it did not work.
Sorry.
Oops, sorry if we ruined that.
No, it's okay.
We didn't even talk about Navarro. His character was awesome. Everything he said was like three sentences, mic drop, done.
Yeah.
I like Navarro. I still miss Del.
Yeah, Del was from the very beginning. I think Del had, I hate to say this, but, you know, he kind of had this, and he's like this mysterious figure, you don't know where he's at the hierarchy, so you're always very engaging. But you know that this guy, Navarro's at the top.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he seems like, honestly, even more so than any of the villains in Breaking Bad, where this guy seems like, oh, he is like the head of the pack. Like, he is like the very, very top. Like, he's almost like in a castle. They're like columns in his, you know, dining room, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This man is a monarch.
Yeah, he's the king. Right.
So he felt just almost immediately intimidating, the way that they shot him and the way, yeah, to your point, like the way that he spoke just like in three sentences, he doesn't need to speak more. And like, he can just convey what he needs to convey and just like his presence.
And also I liked how his phone number was always hidden. It's always something that you have to find out, and like, it's something that's, you know, only the top people can really know.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't have time to converse with everyone.
No.
Like, his time is that valuable to him.
I was interested in seeing Marty and him interact, since apparently he saw himself in Marty. And I hope that's something they develop more in the next season. It would be a missed opportunity if they don't really develop what he sort of meant by that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
Oh, you know what? I do have my number review now. I didn't give one before, but it's, I would give it a 8.5 horse balls out of 10.